welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw at East Fife, preview Saturday's home game against Alloa, and we'll hear from goalkeeper Brett Long and Flynn Duffy. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Cold. It's freezing in here tonight.
It is. That's a bit of an understatement. It's certainly turned again. More bad weather this weekend. Game's been called off right, left and centre, but once again, Peterhead's game survived the weather.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, in the end, I guess maybe it wasn't, but we'll come on to that. But a lot of bad weather. Storms again over the weekend, high winds, and I believe there's another weather warning for snow and ice this week. But it's just as you expect, tail end of January, beginning of February in Scotland.
Yeah, we should be used to it by now, but a fair amount of stormy weather apparently there is. Maybe high winds again tomorrow in the evening. So, hey, it's not good, but hey, as you said, we should be braced for it by now.
Really should be, aye, right. So let's get on to Saturday's game then. 0-0 draw at bottom of the table, East Fife. Missed penalty, it's at a point in the end. What's your overall thoughts on it?
You said a point to me, it's 2 points dropped. I said it last week. Teams run about issue, you've got to be beating them. I put something on social media, I was speaking to somebody as well, and we played Clyde, Dumbarton and East Fife in December and only took 5 points out of nine. Again, it's only 1 point against East Fife. These are the games that could come back to bite you towards the end of the season, and you'd be, you know, bitterly disappointed if one of them games, if it had been a win. I mean, I say that, you were 2-0 up against Clyde. We missed a penalty on Saturday, so everything's been sort of in our favour to win the games, but nae scoring goals has sometimes been my Achilles heel, and I do think, yeah, okay, we've got a point on the board, but I still think it's 2 points dropped overall.
There was the one change in the starting lineup, and Naya Payne came in for Hamish Ritchie, who'd picked up a knock during the week. It was on the bench, but I don't think there was any chance of him actually playing. And Scott Brown was again missing through his injury as well, so injuries are starting to just mount up a little bit, and it looked as though as well we'd kind of reverted back to a 4-1-4-1. I think Simon Ferry was more sitting in front of the back four rather than being part of the back four that he or making a back five as he was in the previous game.
Yeah, it's probably the position that I think Simon's best suited to in front of the, whether it be a back three or a back four. I think we've mentioned numerous times now, I think that is his best position in the park. It was good to see him there. I can see these injuries over the last couple of weeks or even months maybe. So it was good to see him in, given that a few other players were injured, as you said.
And given that the central midfield partnership, Grant Savery and Andy McCarthy was in there, I guess it was better for Pierre to hit him further forward to help those two out rather than being deeper and they've been able to help out, which is a relatively young and inexperienced midfielder. Granted, McCarthy did have his 100th game and it was 50th for Peterhead, but in terms of those two being in a partnership in midfield, it's still relatively young, and it's still a position that Grant's finding his feet in as well.
Yeah, it's his natural position, but he does win a really good shift in. As you said, it's an inexperienced partnership, and I would have thought that was Jim's thinking behind it, to have Simon in there, which maybe affected how his team, you know, his formation shape was going to line up. Yeah, I think it was the right decision to put Simon in there for his experience, and because as we've said before, Grant and Andy like to get forward, they're very good going forward. So I think Simon there just gives you that defensive stability.
And Grant, as Jim had said in after the game as well, he sees him as a central midfielder, obviously still developing. Away from not maybe a more advanced role, but you can see little glimpses of a midfielder in there that we've seen already.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, there is parts of his game that are tailor made to being a centre midfielder. I think the way he carries the ball is sometimes underrated. He can pick up the ball quite deep in midfield and he seems to drive 30-40 yards. I think that should be underestimated for the rest of the team either. You know, that can push you up 30 yards and your defence pushes up as well and eases the pressure. So, as I said, I think that's one part of the game that over the last 3-4 months I've really seen come on, is the way he can carry the ball, dribble. He seems to be able to shield it a bit better now as well, getting his body in the way. So, yeah, there's definite signs there of a centre midfield player.
The game itself then, plenty of chances for both sides, and even early on, Ryan Wallace had a shot inside the first minute of the game, and I think it was closer than what a lot of people maybe realised, just going over. But that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game as well. There were a lot of chances. There wasn't a lot of sort of clear cut chances. Most of the chances and shots were coming from range.
I think that was partly due to the weather. I think a few folk maybe fronted a lot with a long range effort. As you said, right within the first 60 seconds, I've got a chance, and it's at the tone of the game. You just felt that one of them, you know, a player on their day, if you can catch it right, one of them might fly in the back of the net, but alas, it wasn't to be.
And about 5 minutes later, Naya Payne backtracking, helping out his defence, trying to shield the ball out, but I think it was Mercer had managed to just got a toe on it and it fell to steal, but again, his shot was blocked, and again, it was just about. It was more about mistakes than anything else than these chances being created.
Yeah, individual mistakes. It's something that I thought would sort of overcome. Maybe a year ago, we're pretty bad for individual mistakes costing us. I think that sort of, it's not happening as frequent as it did before, but it just seems to be creeping in the last few weeks again. We mentioned it another week against East Kilbride, just a lapse in concentration. Again, a wee bit from Naya there as well. So it's that little individual errors that might cost you, but thankfully on that occasion it didn't.
Yeah, on the plus side, you know, somebody got there to block the shots, which is obviously good. You know, you want to see your defenders doing that, making the last ditch tackles and saves. One of the key part of the game, or the key moment, I should say, on the 20th minute, Peterhead were awarded a penalty. Ball, just a ball played forward by Duffy over the top, and McLean was through in goal, and he's taken the shot. He's trying to dink the keeper. Keeper was a bit slow coming off his line, and then he was taken out late, and the referee's given a penalty, and it was a booking as well.
Yeah.
Penalty for you or not?
I really don't know. I've seen it a few times. I've got to be honest. It's one of them. You see it happen in most games where a striker will get, he has a shot and he gets taken out a second after, and the referee will give a corner or a goal kick. So, I mean, by letter of the law, there is contact. He hasn't got the ball. He's gone through the back. It would be a foul, but it's unusual for you to get them. So you take that luck, I guess.
I was going to say, it's probably, if it was one of those, it was in the middle of the park, and somebody's put a ball forward, then taken out late, you'd get the free kick.
Yes, absolutely.
One of those in the box, you're very rarely where you would get, which was surprising that we got it, you know, even after he's taken the shot.
Yeah, because when you first seen it, and then that was what the penalty was awarded for, I was slightly surprised. But again, having seen the replay a few times, you can understand why the referee's given it. It's just unusual that a referee would give a penalty for that.
Unusual, but he's given it, and as I said, he was given a booking. But unfortunately for Rusty, who got himself up on his feet and took the penalty, it was saved. It's always easy to say that when a penalty's saved, it's a poor one, but having praised the guys last week about their penalties in the shootout, Rusty being the one who scored the vital one, it didn't seem just overly confident with this one, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, not quite sure why, because I don't think he'd be lacking in confidence. Obviously scored a great penalty last week, but it's a poor penalty, and by that I mean, obviously, as you said, every penalty is poor if it's saved, but it's not in the corner, it's not in the middle. And it's one of them, if the keeper guesses the right way, he's going to save it. So it's sort of in between the two. It's not the side net and it's not doing the middle. So they're quite sure what Rusty's thoughts were. But, you know, give the keeper credit, he's guessed the right way. You know, easy for a keeper to palm it back into his path. He's pushed it away. So whilst it's a disappointing penalty, give the keeper a bit of credit as well.
Yeah, again, if the keeper going the other way and he went in, it looks a great penalty. But Campbell, who up until about 5-3 wasn't even in the starting lineup, 17-year-old, he's making his home debut and saved a penalty. So you know, it's a terrific afternoon for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He said 5 minutes before the game he wasn't due to be playing, and then he is thrown at a deep end, he's facing a penalty, he's managed to save it, turned it away, he's nae spilled it or anything. There are a couple of decent saves throughout the game as well, to be fair to him. So, yeah, for a 17-year-old to come in, I think it's a really good debut.
And at that time of the game as well, I just felt as though we were starting to come onto it, we were creating a little bit more, we were having more of the ball as well. But without really testing the keeper, and as you said, you know, it's a young guy, he's making his home debut. Just his second game, so you'd have thought we were going to try and get as many balls into the box as possible, and you know, really test them.
Yeah, that's probably the part that would frustrate me more. If you realise it's a young keeper with not much experience, then you know, try and test them. The way the weather was as well, perfect opportunity. You get a couple of cross balls here. He deals with set pieces as well. I think there was one corner that was a good ball in, but there was nobody there on the end of it. And the keepers may be surprised as well. He hasn't faced mere shots or mere difficult situations. But, yeah, probably something we probably need to work on as a team in the final third.
And just before half-time, Andy McDonald had a free kick. Similar position from where he scored that last season. But this time he just skimmed the top of the bar. Aye, it was slightly closer than again. I think the keeper thought it was.
he had it covered.
He seemed to think it was going well over. But I think, I don't know if the wind maybe just took it or if he just misjudged it. But it certainly skimmed the top of the bar.
Yeah, Andy's one of them players. You see him stepping up for it. It's like an unorthodox run up. And it wouldn't surprise me if he rasped it in the top corner, but at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he blazed it 40 yards over. he's one of these guys. But you can guarantee that when he does get one that connects really well, it's going to be a really good goal. And as we said, he's skimmed the top of the bar. He was a couple inches away for getting that right. If you get the wind behind you and it dips, it could have been a really good goal.
Yeah, it wasn't far away. Second half, I'll ask you about Flynn Duffy's yellow. over-exuberance, shall we say, for his yellow.
It's an offence late, but yeah, I just could have been a little bit worse, I think. It's one of them. If it was a red, you could probably see why.
Yeah,
playing devils, yeah. I could see if the referee gave a red card, you'd be annoyed, but you could probably understand where the referee is coming from.
Yeah.
That's the grey area, I think.
It certainly was robust, shall we say, and it was a tackle foot behind, which obviously, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you would probably have been screaming for a red for that. I think what he's got in his favour is the fact that he maybe does make slight contact with the ball. It makes it that little bit easier for the referee to give a yellow rather than just giving them the red.
What I would say is the referee got the yellow card out very quickly. Yeah. So I think everybody around it, there was a couple of players just starting to run towards the referee. You could see if it was going to happen. There could have been a bit of a melee going up, but the referee's got the yellow card out straight away. But again, it's one of them. If a red came out, you'd be bitterly disappointed, but you could probably see where the referee was coming from when everything calmed down. But thankfully, it was just a yellow.
Yeah, that was one of six yellows in the game. 34 fouls in the game. It was a very stop-start, and I think that didn't help the flow of the game. Neither side really got into a bit of a flow and couldn't get the tempo that they maybe would have wanted. Maybe that played into the East Fife's hands, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps. The way the weather was with the wind, plus the stop-start nature of the game, as you mentioned, there are 34 fouls in the game. It's difficult to get a rhythm going, which I guess neither team, neither management would have been pleased with either, but you know, it's the way it was.
Which turned out to be quite a frantic last quarter of the game. First of all, Connell went through 1-1, the best chance of the game, I felt. But once again, Brett Long is there and with a big save. We've mentioned that I don't know how many times this season already. But maybe if you're looking at it from an East Fife point of view, they've gone four games prior to that without scoring a goal, no wins in about 11. So they're really low in confidence, and perhaps, you know, Connell maybe flying a bit of confidence, maybe would have scored there.
Yeah, it certainly looked like an effort that was a player lacking confidence. But as you said, the East Fife team were lacking confidence. I think the first shot in particular is too close to Brett Long. Brett's done everything right. He's come out, he's made himself big, but I think the initial shot is far too close to him. He's got to try and go around him, either placing the shot curl on the outside or going around him himself. And the second one's a good save by Brett, but he's right there. But all starts, I think, it was our lost possession as well in midfield. Right. But again, we're trying to be passing it. It's just a wee bit too intricate, lost possession, and they're in. And again, had they scored there, it comes to our mistake. So, yeah, a couple of things has went in our favour there. We've lost the ball, but again, as you said, a couple of good saves by Brett Long.
And we should say as well, I mean, he's done everything right. He's come out and made himself big.
Yeah.
He hasn't given the striker an easy option. And again, we've said it a few times this season. He has made numerous saves like that, one and ones in particular as well.
Yeah, I think overall the season, had we not had Brett's save or some of the saves that he's made in games, would certainly be, I think, in the relegation playoff, because he's easy kept us, you know, 6-7 points this season, if not more. And that was a prime example on Saturday.
And then Mercer had another one, again, stopped by Long at the back post. He was free, just on the corner, and again, maybe just taking a touch too many, but again, Brett's got himself across the goal, and again, made himself big and stopped the shot.
Yeah, he's done everything you expect of the keeper. As you said, Mercer, he's maybe taken an extra touch against when it comes back to, if you've got the confidence, you maybe hit it sooner. But because they're lacking in confidence, I think that's what I played in their hands as well. And it's probably a game that they felt that they didn't know what to lose. They were desperate to try and get something for the game. A point might be good enough for them. So, you know, overall, it's disappointing. We only got the 3 points, but I think for East Fife's point of view, they'll be happy with the one. But again, that chance, if he'd seen it a wee bit quicker, might have gotten the 3 points themselves.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes, I mean, there was chances for both sides to win at Mercer there. Derek Lyle had an opportunity as well, from a corner, I think it was, which wasn't dealt with by Campbell in the goal, which I think was probably his only mistake or error in the game. And the ball was played back in again, and Dale's got a chance, he's controlled it, and you just think he's got a tap in, but suddenly there's a defender that pops right up and he's there. So again, we talk about Peter Head defenders putting themselves on the line and making saves. East Fife have done exactly the same there as well. And when you think Dell's got a tap in, he's come in and just knocked it away from him.
His commitment for East Fife, as you said, right at the death. Dell looks to be at an easy sort of chance, and he's just not quite, you know, got the, you know, he's not quite quick enough. Defenders there, and he's, you know, blocked it, which you'd expect to do.
And then Dunsmore. What was virtually the last kick of the game. I think we were lucky that this was a defender. It was in the position and not a and not a striker. It Dunsmore volleyed it from about 10-12 yards, and I think it's maybe squaffed it, and it's gone well wide in the end. But again, these are chances that, you know, East Fife, if they're going to try and survive, should really be taken. But for us, you know, against a team higher up the league, we'd probably take.
I think they'll be disappointed. I mean, East Fife had, they probably would have had the better of the chances. I'd probably say they probably did shade it with the better of the chances. And if they are going to survive, they need to be taking them chances. As you said, then I scored in 4 games prior to the game, so that's now 5, without a win in 11. If they are going to start, you know, catching up with teams, then they need wins, and that sort of efforts on goal, you mentioned the Connell one, Mercer, and then that one, you think they really need to be putting one away.
But it is a game, it is a point, which means that we're still 10 points ahead of them, which I think is crucial, just to, even for that psychological kind of point of view as well. And I think we've got a game in hand over them as well. So I think it was important not to give them a sniff, you know, even cutting that down to 7 points.
Yeah, I'm still disappointed when I won the game, because I had 4 times I've played East Fife new, won in the Cup, 3 in the league, and when I won a game last season, you think they're bottom of the table. Kenneth Nye is quite cut and dry and as easy as when you beat the teams at the bottom. But again, I don't want to get into, you know, late April, start of May, thinking, you know, if we'd picked up a win against East Fife, we would have been
well clear.
Well clear, or would have been, you wouldn't have had playoffs or whatnot. But frustrating, but as you said, the positive spin on it is we're still 10 points clear of the team that's bottom, and if somebody said to you, can January be 10 points clear of the team that's bottom place, you'd have probably taken it.
Yeah, and 9 shots on goal, just the 1 on target, and that was the penalty. So again, you could maybe look at that and say, well, that's where we're maybe lacking.
Yeah, I think creating chances, good chances, it's imperative if you're going to win games at football. And I think, you know, the tail end of last season, everything we seemed to touch was good, but at the moment it's just not quite fun for us in terms of goals. Okay, we've scored 2 against East Kilbride and you get the penalties, but you need to be taking your chances and creating good chances for your strikers.
Okay, now we're going to hear from a couple of players. We'll hear from Brett Long, but first we're going to hear from Flynn Duffy, and here's his thoughts on the game.
It was a tough match. It was everything we expected, really. The wind obviously played a part of the pitch, and each play for the team had struggled for points, so they were going to make it as difficult as possible for us to play. So I thought the good thing was we kept a clean sheet, we just couldn't really get going and get that goal to get the victory. But and then disappointed to draw the game, but we were quite content with not losing.
Was the conditions as bad as what you were expecting it to be?
Well, I woke up and it was windy. We thought it would die down a bit, but it didn't really. Still made a big difference. But I mean, up at Peterhead, we're kind of used to the wind, so we thought it'd be okay. But it didn't really seem to get going for us. The ball was flying out the pitch, which happens at Peterhead, but we usually deal with it a bit better. So disappointed we couldn't really manage the conditions as best as we could.
There was plenty of chances for both sides. Did you think that? If we took one, that might have even been enough.
Yeah, definitely. I think if either team got one goal, it would have been very difficult for the other team to get back in it because they would have started. But I think both teams had chances to score. Obviously, we missed a penalty. We had a few good ones in the second half, so a draw was probably a fair result. But again, like I said, we really want to be taking points at these venues against these teams.
It does keep us 10 points ahead of them, so in a way, as you're saying there, a point was probably a fair result, but anything less than that might have just given them that opportunity or a sniff to claw us back again.
Yeah, well, before the game, obviously, we want to push on and get closer to the playoffs, but the fact we didn't lose keeps them down there. It doesn't give them any hope, well, less hope, that they can get close to us, and we want to keep that distance from the bottom of the table and just look forwards, which not losing can still give us the opportunity to do that. So next week we'll only need 3 points to keep it up.
And just towards the end of the game, or certainly in the second half, you were given a yellow, which was described by some people as a yellow and a half. Do you think it was a fair decision just to give you the yellow?
Yeah, probably was watching the back at the time. I thought I took the ball, which he did, but I took the man as well. But just the fact that they were outside our box and, you know, it was probably just an opportunity. I thought maybe just take the risk of either win the ball or stop the game, but watching the back, it was probably a booking. You don't really get away with it once these days.
It was, the referee was, felt was quite fussy. There's a lot of fouls in the game. Did you feel a lot of those fouls? Maybe he maybe could have let some of them go.
Yeah, the game didn't really get flowing at all. Like, it was fouled. I don't know how many fouls there were, but the game kept stopping either with fouls or the ball being out of play. So neither team could really get a rhythm. But I thought he could have been a bit more lenient, maybe play advantage a bit more, but. You know, it's the same for both teams. We just have to get on that.
Do you think that maybe, as you said, it affected the not just us, but obviously East Fife as well? Just they really got going in the game at all?
That's probably what they wanted. I don't think they really wanted us to get going because then they probably knew that we could hurt them with the good players we've got on our team. So I think they probably wanted to stop the game as much as they could and just play on second balls, try getting like a set piece or anything like that. So. It was kind of expected, but I thought the referee could possibly deal with it better. But again, it's the same for both teams, so we'll just have to deal with that.
Brett, what was your thoughts on Saturday's game then? 0-0 in the end.
I think it was a first half we were the better team. Second half they came in a little bit more. But overall,
was the conditions, did they play a part in the game, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I'm honestly, it was. It was a massive factor.
Second half, you had two or three fairly big saves in the end there to save the point. Were those crucial? Do you think in the end? That's your sixth one this season. Do you set yourself any targets in terms of clean sheets? What's your thoughts on your opposite number at the other end, young Campbell coming in and getting a clean sheet on what was his home debut? Next three games are at home in the league. How crucial are those games going to be, particularly as our home form has been good this season?
Yeah, I think it's massive, to be honest. This game Saturday, Halloween, there were only 2 points behind us, so I think we sort of need to have to get a wee bit away from them and sort of get the table up and put them on their shoulder. He's got obviously plenty in the cup. It's sort of, people say it's a re-hit, so
right, so I should point out that Brett was out walking when I spoke to him, hence why he sounded a bit out of breath. But Flynn there, just saying, I think what some of the players were feeling was that they're almost disappointed they haven't won, but they're in a way slightly happy that they've got the draw. So there's that kind of in between, you know, they're not celebrating a point, but they're disappointed at the same time that they haven't won the game.
Yeah, probably sums up our feelings as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're disappointed, kind of disappointed that we dropped 2 points, and you rightly pointed out the positive is it's a point gain. So, yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to both sides. I mean, it is a game that, yeah, you're not lost. We've kept these five, as you said, 10 points adrift. But again, I go back to it, you don't want them to catch up with you at the end of the season and then points be costly.
And as you said before as well, Brett pulling off more saves as well. It's his sixth clean sheet this season. He's saying there in his audio that he's targeting double figures, which you would think he's got it in him, but I think sometimes as well he just needs a little bit of help for his defence in front of him as well.
Yeah, I think October time, he said he was leading the charge for the most saves. I think that tells you a story as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's at times going to be too exposed. He needs help from not just his defenders, you know, defending as a team starts at the top of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So you need your strikers to be helping midfield defence. If he gets a wee bit more support, then I think him getting at least 10 clean sheets is certainly a possibility.
He's now slipped down second on that list. He's behind Neil Parry at Clyde. Which maybe
friends at Clyde.
Well, that maybe just coincides with the fact that Clyde are climbing up the table as well, mm-hmm. and Parry's making so many saves. So it does show you how crucial having a good goalkeeper is in your team.
And I certainly think we've got one of the best keepers in League One. Okay, many folk might look at that and go, you're sitting seventh, how can you hear the best goalkeeper? But I certainly do. I think we've pointed out numerous times the saves that he makes, and big saves, crucial saves, the time of them, the way he saves them. I think he's a really good goalkeeper. And as you said, Clyde have picked up a bit of form. It coincides with Parry playing well, their centre-half's playing well. So again, it shows you if you've got that solid base and foundation in this league, you put a couple of victories together, you can certainly push up the table.
Okay, so we'll move on to the transfer window is about to close as we are recording this on the Monday night. We think most of the business has been done. No doubt we'll finish this. Something else will crop up.
I've got my phone ready just in case there's anything.
So the business that's been done then, the incomings, Conor Cullen, Rico Katongo, Owen Cairns on loan from the Brock, and Jack Brown has come in as well. He's just signed today from Rothes. So overall, more ins than it seems to be outs, which is maybe slightly different to what maybe Jim had maybe suggested a couple of weeks ago. But overall, what do you think of the business being done in January then?
Yeah, good. Obviously, a couple of them haven't really played much. I think there will be good signings. I think, obviously, it's signings that Jim and the club have looked at before. There's a pattern that Jim goes after targets, and it'll maybe take him a couple of windows to get them, but inevitably he gets the targets that he's wanting. A couple of question marks over if players are going to be going out or staying, or you know, there's a couple of players that are just considering. But yeah, overall, I think the business looks good.
It's difficult to obviously ascertain how good Conor Cullen's going to be, because I think for the majority of the season he's going to be the rest of the season he's going to be sitting playing second fiddle to Brett. Rico Katongo and Owen Cairns, they both made their debuts on Saturday, both coming off the bench. Rico, we know quite a bit about him. He's been in League One for a number of seasons now as well. We spoke about him last week. But Owen Cairns, it's an interesting one because he's been signed on loan for the rest of the season. He's out of contract at the Brock at the end of this season as well. And Jim has described this one as a win-win for everybody. You'd almost kind of automatically think that there's a possibility that if he plays well, he'll be here again next season, but obviously we don't know that's going to be the case. But I think going by the reaction to by Brock fans to Owen's departure, they're a bit surprised. And he was one of their better players last season, but it just seemed to maybe slip down the pecking order slightly. So this is obviously a chance for Jim to get a player in that he's been looking at for a wee while.
I think, as you pointed out there, it's a win-win situation. As you said, going by Fraser Briz's reaction to like a couple of our supporters, you know, they were disappointed that Owen's decided to move on. Whether that's just because he was going to Peterhead or not, I don't know, but by all accounts, he is a good player.
I think he was looking for a move as well, so I mean, it just coincides with the fact that if Peterhead is going to, but he's been making... making noises that he's not happy because he's not playing enough. But you know, for a Brock fan, somebody coming to Peterhead probably isn't the ideal. But,
But again, it's a good opportunity for him, because if he does play well, there's a potential of a deal here, or if not here, a deal somewhere else. You know, another team might be keeping a close eye on him. Mm-hmm. And if he's not enjoying his football, you want the guys to enjoy their football. So again, it's a situation that might work out for him. It might work out for Jim. But also Fraser Brad, they didn't want to keep a player that's potentially unhappy at their club either, because they're having a terrific season as well. So I think in this one it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and he could play in a couple of positions, right back or in midfield, but I think primarily he'll be used as a right back or a right wing back. And he, you know, good pedigree. He started out at Ross County, so he's come from a good background.
Yeah, the position of right back is.
It's up for debate, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've this moment in time, at the time of recording, you do hate Danny Strachan. He's been AWOL the last couple of weeks, a wee bit like Lyle Cameron. Again, another player that can play on the right-hand side. So, you know, you'd expect something to happen there in terms of, are we going to be have too many players in the right-back position? I don't know. We need to see what's happening there. Obviously, we know we've lost Josh. He has gone back to Dundee. He is playing, but you know, question mark over the other two guys. They've gone AWOL last few weeks.
And Jack Brown, another Brown, just seems to be the signing policy at the minute. just get him in because he's called Brown. But I'm actually quite excited about this one. A lot of folk have... I've been pleased for him. Again, somebody who is you know, has cut his teeth at Inverness. He's you know, learned the trade up there. Some people were a bit disappointed that Inverness hadn't given him an opportunity. He's going to Fort William initially, and then Rothes, and he's done well there. A goal scoring midfielder, which I think is something we're needing other than, you know, Scott Brown. But you know, 14 goals in 22 this season is a good return for a midfielder.
Can I just say we've now got a Jack, a Jason, a Jordan, and a Scott. Mm-hmm. Okay, just to make sure we've got everything right. Yeah, as you said, he's got incredible stats for an attacking midfielder. And again, it's probably a position that Hamish Ritchie was good at last year. Everything he touched for a period was either an assist or a goal. But again, that's not happening at the moment. So again, another player that can come in, wee bit like Hamish Ritchie came in towards the end of the season, and that really reinvigorated, re-energised what we're midfield. Again, the same could happen here, and it might just, again, another thing with Owen coming in, he can play midfield, you've got Jack coming in, it might just kickstart Hamish as well. So again, I think it'll be a win-win for everyone in that situation.
I'm just wondering if there's a Jamie Brown somewhere.
I'm sure we can find him.
James maybe got an eye on him already. I should say as well, it's a contract. He's a 2.5-year contract. He's here till 2024, which is quite a surprise, given how normally you know, you might get a year, or some of the guys have signed last year, like Jason and Hamish got a 2-year. This is a 2.5-year. That to me is a signal of intent by the club and by the player as well, that, you know, they're trying to have a long term plan, whereas before it might have just been a contract, a 1-year contract here and there.
Yeah, you said before we started recording, you said it was a real statement of intent by the club to get a player on a 2.5-year deal. I 100% agree. I think it is. It shows the level of confidence the management team and the board have got in the player. Obviously, it's slightly different if you get a player in on loan, need as well, and then you take almost a punt because you've seen him play. But it's a bit of a gamble taking somebody in a 2.5-year deal. Again, it goes hand in hand with the change of philosophy in the club. As you said, mainly it's been year deals. Over the last 18 months, we have seen a 2-year deal given out, and now we're seeing 2.5. So, a real statement of intent by the club, and hopefully it works out for everyone.
Yeah, it's a big squad now as well. 25, it's a 25-man squad. It's 24 is here. Darren's obviously going back to Broughty on loan for the rest of the season. He's the only one that we think is going out. As we mentioned, or kind of touched on, question marks of the two guys from Dundee, Danny Stark and Lyle Carman. It's a bit of a limbo. Not really entirely sure what the situation is there. I don't think they really know the situation either. So, you know, there's still time. Something might happen before the window shuts there. Jadel's back as well from his loan at Tayport. Again, something might happen there with him, but he's certainly back within the squad. But it is a larger squad than what maybe we're used to. So it would be interesting to see how the remainder of the season goes.
Yeah, I think it is a larger squad, but I think it's a squad that really should be utilised. I think at times you can almost predict what the team might be. I think at times Jim does need to freshen it up. And as we said, you've got a larger squad now. I think there should be much reason why you can't change it. You know, keep things fresh, keep players fresh, and I think we should be doing it more often, to be honest.
It's a young squad as well. It's been mentioned a few times this season, yeah, as well. But it is a young squad, and that's another couple of guys that have come in that are, you know, under 24, under 25. So there seems to be a change in philosophy, as you said.
Yeah, there is, but at the same time, you need these experienced guys. You need the Derek Lyles and the Simon Ferries kicking about, because they bring, you know, much needed experience, whether that be a cameo appearance on the pitch or whether it be, you know, hearing Simon shouting on the touchline. you need these guys running about. So it's okay changing a philosophy from maybe a slightly older team to a younger team, but you need that mix and blend within your squad.
And the last two coming in, Cairns and Brown coming in for the Highland League, and I only mention that is because, you know, since we've been doing the podcast for the last 3 years, people have been mentioning about, you know, we're not signing enough players for the Highland League. There are many reasons to why we didn't necessarily get players from the Highland League, but this does show that Jim is actively looking in the Highland League as much as he can and trying to bring in players. So again, there might just be maybe a slight turn and you know, they've maybe looked at how well Hamish Ritchie has done last season and this season and actually think, well, I might actually get an opportunity here. I may just get be a squad player. So there maybe is just a slight change in the mentality of these players coming in.
So it's a lot harder, it's a lot harder to get players for the Highland League, and I think many people realise it's not just a case of we want him, we'll take him. It's, you know, there's a lot of things to consider when you go for a player for the Highland League. And as you said, there maybe is a slight change. Players are looking at how well you can do in League 1 and League 2. And that can sometimes be the springboard to go on to better things. So yeah, not easy to get players in the Highland League, but you know, we've got Owen and we've got Jack, so I think these guys might just be a showcase, but to show other players, look, there is that opportunity to go to teams and try and develop.
Okay, we will move on now to Saturday's game against Alloa, home game against a side we've beaten twice this season already. 2-0 opening game of the season up here, and if you remember, Barry Ferguson got a tremendous reception as he walked off across the park. I think that's happened two or three times since then as well. And then obviously we beat the 4-2 down there as well. What are you expecting from this one then?
Well, we've got to use our home form to our advantage. You mentioned it in one of the audios, where home form's really good. We've got three games coming up as well at home in the league where you've got to be looking. I said going into March we get a real idea where we're going to be in the league, and I still stand by that. I think it will be an interesting game on Saturday, Barry Ferguson coming back up. It'll be a tough game, but I think it's also going to be a game that neither team will really want to lose based on where they're at in the table. But again, it's another chance to get the 3 points and start pulling away for that ninth place position.
Yeah, they've got no wins in the last 10, and that's why they've slipped below us in the league down to eighth. I think they've got just the one win since we beat them 4-2 as well, and that's in all competitions as well, so they really are on a bit of a slide. But as we said last week about East Fife, they had no wins in 11, but this time round, because it's at home, I think it'll be slightly different.
I think so. I think, like I said, we've got to use that home form to our advantage. Alloa, when I'd be keen on making the trip up. And I think if we make it difficult for them, I think we should come through okay. I'm looking for that win, especially at home.
We talk about the home form. We've got 16 points out of our 24 have come from home games. Just 8 away. Points this season, and even if you look at the goal differences as well, you know, we've scored 16 at home but just conceded 10, whereas away from home we've scored 13 but conceded 23. So these next three games, not just the Alloa game, but the game against Airdrie and the game against Dumbarton, are going to be fairly pivotal for where we're going to be at the end of the season. And okay, we might not get anything out of the Airdrie game because they're, you know, doing so well, but you never know, it's home game. We might get something, but I think the Alloa game and the Dumbarton game are going to be crucial for where we're going to be at come the end of the season.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, I think February's got to be the month that really makes or break the season. Whether you're going to be relatively clear of any relegation worries or whether you're going to be dragged right back in it, because you are playing the teams in about you. So it is almost in your own hands, as you said. It's Alloa and Dumbarton, teams placed 8th and 9th. Again, you've got to be trying. It is your home form. You've got to try and get 6 points out of the six.
Hopefully, we get to see the new guys as well. Jack, I forgot his last name. Brown, sorry. I tried a joke. It didn't work. And maybe even see Scott Brown back as well, because I think his drive maybe just was missing in the last kind of couple of games that he's missing.
It's something we've said, as you said, for day one of the podcast. when Scott Brown doesn't play, you certainly miss him. It's a wee bit like Simon Ferry. I think they're crucial parts of your team. They're almost like that engine, especially if Scott gives you that drive going forward, but also the tracking back. That's not to say that Grant Savory and Andy McCarthy's done anything wrong, but again, any team in League One would miss a player of Scott's quality, so hopefully he's back on Saturday.
Yeah, so just one final word on the game on Saturday. We'll look at where the goals are going to come from Alaba. You look at their top goal scorers. Funnily enough, Stephen Boyd is one. He's got 6 goals this season, which is obviously far more than he achieved if he was here. The two games certainly that he's played against us so far, he hasn't looked that good. So, you know, if we can keep him relatively quiet again, you stop that threat.
I think we said that the other week about David Gubile at Clyden when he scored two goals. Or maybe a way to curse it. But again, players of that quality, we came the quality that Stephen's got. Obviously, he didn't show it that much in his time at Peterhead, unfortunately, but he's a player with good quality, and again, if you can keep him quiet and nullify the ball going into him, then you'd expect, you know, to come out on top.
Yeah, it's going to be a big month for us, February, with the cup game as well against Dundee, which obviously we hope the players aren't going to be distracted by that, thinking about that, but you know, concentrate on the three league games and see where we're at the end of the month.
Yeah, I mean, it would be brilliant to win in the cup and get 3 wins. It would be the ideal February. But I think if you are looking at the games, the league is your bread and butter, and you try and focus on that, but enjoy the occasion against Dundee. But obviously, we'll speak about that more next week. But again, it would be crucial to get the 3 points on Saturday.
Okay, Doc. Well, hopefully that will be the start of a winning February for us then. But that is it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Wires, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.